The Shire of Nanup would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanup.
I mean, Costa, he just loves Nanup and, you know, he wants to come every year. And we went to our op shop, got himself completely dressed up, and we went to the Logies in a costume from the Nanup op shop, because that's what he does. He, you know, like, so it's just wonderful.
This is the Nanup Oral History Podcast. The Nanup Heritage Trail booklet is available at the Nanup Historical Society and contains further information about locations spoken about in this interview. Today we're sitting amongst Joe's Antiques, and in this space with us is Maggie Longmore, who is currently the chair of the Nanup Flower Garden Festival. Maggie, it's so lovely to be talking with you this morning. Thank you for coming in.
I think it's quite exciting, actually, to do something like this.
Brilliant.
I didn't actually think I'd been here long enough to do it, but then I realised we'd been here 25 years.
So, yeah, can you tell us about coming to Nanup?
Well, we actually bought a block here in 1991, and it was one of the first subdivisions close to town. And we bought a block which was then, it was known as Archdale Park.
So Archdale Park is now known as North Nanup.
And Blackwood River Drive didn't even exist. So to get to our block, we had to go across the farm blocks to get to our place. And Blackwood River Drive wasn't there for quite a few years. And then eventually it was put in, but stopped at our block because we were the last of that subdivision. So all the other land going into town was still all farmland and everything. And then gradually the rest of the blocks out there got subdivided. And Blackwood River Drive got taken to Dean Road, and then Dean Road, all those subdivisions down there. So we were actually one of the first people to buy in sort of North Nanup, the new subdivision type part. So, yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. And then we moved here permanently in 2000 from Perth. We'd been in Perth for 25 years. Bob was working at Curtin. He was an academic pharmacist. Obviously, because we'd had the block for a few years. And also we knew Carol Pinkerton and Margie Bird from way back from when we used to live in Willerton. I used to do a lot of work with them at the school that the kids went to. And being very keen gardeners, one of the first things we did was actually join the garden club, which was in those days run by Dave Blythe and, you know, his garden on Brockman Street, which used to be open to the public. And beautiful garden. So we used to meet there regularly. And actually that garden used to hold the world record for the tallest dahlia. It's actually still in the Guinness Book of Records, apparently. So it was quite a famous garden. And then I got involved in the Tourist Association, because the Visitor Centre, because in those days the Visitor Centre was in the caravan park. So we used to run the caravan park, and the money from running the caravan park kept the visitor centre running. We had a huge visitor centre. I volunteered there once a week, and because it was a 7-day-a-week thing, if you volunteered during the week, you could actually get paid to do a weekend shift. So it was actually quite good because I could actually make a little bit of money, you know. Nothing really was very digital in those days. So we used to book a lot of the accommodation, you know, and then we took the commissions from that. We used to do the bus service. The jail was very popular, you know, because we used to look after the old jail that's over there.
There's an old jail over there?
Oh, yeah. So the history of the old jail is amazing. And unfortunately, because, you know, it's sort of now the caravan park and not the visitor centre. But I ended up on the board of the Tourist Association. and I ended up doing all the merchandising there as well, all voluntary apart from when I got paid during the weekend. And in those days, the Flower and Garden Festival was actually under the auspices of the Tourist Association. So the Flower and Garden Festival, which I'm now chair of, and Bob used to be chair of for many, many years, it started as a tulip festival. And it was actually started by Prue Pocock, who was at the time was the manager of the visitor centre. And it was over 4 weekends. And the first weekend would be the Tulip Festival. The second weekend was the Daffodil Society. And it started off to raise money for cancer. That's how it, yes. And the Shire also got involved because they were looking at something to attract people to Nanup. So the Shire actually got involved and they started then buying in tulips and planting tulips in the main street. So it sort of gradually, and there was actually quite a few tulip farms in Nanup and places that grew tulips. You know, it was, yes, now there isn't anybody, any tulip farm left in Nanup, you know. But going back to the festival, how it started, so the third was an art exhibition. We used to have a huge art exhibition up in the rec centre. And the fourth weekend was wood in the town hall. And that was, yeah, so that was all the, you know, because we've got a lot of wood craftsmen in Nanup.
So there was wood art?
Yes, you know, like, well, there's quite a few woodworkers so in Nanup. And, yeah, they used to put on an exhibition in the town hall. So that was the four weekends. Oh, and at the same time, Joe Twist here, where we are here, always used to have an auction as well, which was drew a lot of people into town. Gradually it sort of evolved and, you know, it sort of grew and this sort of thing. And then it went to a 10-day festival where a display started happening in the town hall. So it moved away from being just the tulip festival sort of thing. And the wood people sort of weren't, you know, there wasn't that many of them and they didn't have a proper organisation. The art exhibition was run by the Nanup Arts and they carried on going. We also did a name change so that, you know, we felt we could incorporate other flowers apart from tulips. Even though tulips are still the hero flower of the festival and they're still the main attraction why people come, we felt we could broaden it. And in those days, all the community groups and individual people or businesses used to put on sort of displays in the town hall. We still do, but we had lots of themes, you know.
So is it a theme per year?
Different theme per year, yes. And we still do it now. Like this year, it's the 3 R's, repurpose, reuse, recycle. That's it, yeah. We also had a Gardener's Day Out. That was very popular. That used to be part of the festival too. And that was actually one of Bob's, that was his little baby. So, yeah, and then see, getting creative in the garden, that was another year that we did. You know, Rose Festival we had in 2005 and we used to have Karat Winery. We always had a sundown out there. Well, Karat Winery isn't here anymore. Holbury House, we had a gardener's mark in Holbury House.
And this was all part of the festival?
This was, the festival. The Rose Festival was in November, but we did that as well, yeah. And in fact, we're trying to reinvent that at some point, but it's just a lot of work. Plant It Forward in 2019. And then, you know, the Telegraph too, we always used to do wraparounds for the Telegraph. So there's one year we did Alice in Wonderland and everybody got dressed up.
That's one thing I love about Nanup is when there's a theme, there's costumes, there's decorations.
Absolutely. We became incorporated in 2011 with Nanup Garden Village. And it wasn't in 2008 was the first year that we actually paid a coordinator because it got sort of too big. So that was 10 days. And then in 2019, due to the growth of the festival and increased administration, because the decision was made to combine several volunteers and appoint an admin, which happened to be you.
It did. it was a great job.
Yeah, so, and I think you did that for a couple of years.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
With stalls?
With stalls. Yep, that's right. Also, because of lack of volunteers and burnout and all this sort of thing, it actually went to 4 days and was a huge, you know, like, it drew a huge, big, amount of people into town, very much like the music festival, all over that weekend. And then COVID hit. So when COVID hit, we thought, what are we going to do? We can't have a display in the town hall because of distancing. The tulips had already been bought by the Shire at this point. You know, they'd already got them. And then, so we decided that we would carry on and we did the festival and we actually ran it over 6 weeks. And actually, the Shire actually complimented us and said that was what kept a lot of the businesses going because people came to see the tulips. We encouraged people to drive through the town, see the tulips, stop and, you know. And we also had a Name the Tree competition, which sent people around the town. And we had a few little ticketed events, especially in the town hall, because we were able to distance them quite, you know. So we managed to keep it going. It burnt us out. So the next year we went to 4 weekends. And then we reverted back after COVID had lifted to the 16 days. And now we've, the last 2 years, gone back to 10 days. And that's what we're hoping to keep it at.
So what I'm hearing is that the festival is incredibly resilient, incredibly adaptive.
Yes.
It's
a moving thing, but it's always in August because that's when the tulips flower best. People still continue to come all the time to see the tulips, because the tulips flower for about a month.
Yeah, so tell us about the tulips. I know you said before they're still the star.
Yes.
So tell us where you find them, how many there are.
Originally, they used to be, when I was talking about the tulip farm, so they on the corner of the road, Warren Road, and the road to Pemberton. The road to Pemberton. There used to be a tulip farm there. Molly and Madge had that, and they were one of the first ones, and that was open to the public. And then Denise and Laurie Green, they started growing tulips in town, but then they moved out to North Nanup and they had especially tulips, and that was open to the public, and they had a fields where people could walk through and everything. That was very popular. And they used to sell a lot of tulips out there. And they also, the pots that went in the town hall, because we always featured tulips in the town hall in the displays, they used to grow them for the, because they've been part of the Flower and Garden Festival and on the committee, and Denise has been a chair as well, and they're life members, and you know, like, so they've always been involved in the festival. We then asked the Shire if we could go in partnership with them. So now what happens is we go down to the Shire depot and we plant all the pots, and those pots we sell, and that gives us money, because there's nobody else in town selling tulips. Before, there used to be the tulip farm, 2 or 3 tulip farms selling. So that's one of our main income things. And also what we do is the barrels that are in town. We do 40 barrels every year, and we get very good. All the main street traders will sponsor a barrel. We couldn't do it without the Shire. They are, you know, but they think it's, well, you know, well worthwhile, and it brings a very, very different dynamics into Nanup as opposed to the music festival or the rally or the bikes.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the economic and social impact that the festival has on town. So
yes, it has it, because people come, and because the town hall is open for the 10 days, and this is why it's in, you know, and also during the 10 days, like the Historical Society stays open. We usually have an exhibition in the supper room. Craft ladies always open their place, and they're able to have income because they can sell their crafts for the whole of the 10 days. We also have open gardens with celebrity tours.
Yeah, so let's talk about the presenters, because you bring some big names to Nanup.
We do, yes. And, Costa, he just loves Nanup, and, you know, he wants to come every year. And was it last year or the year before, he went to our op shop, dressed himself, got himself completely dressed up, and he went to the Logies in a costume from Nanup, you know, like, from the Nanup op shop, because that's what he does. So he's just wonderful. We usually get him to go up to the school because we like to make sure that we involve the school as much as possible. We try and involve as many community groups as we can, because it's very much a community festival, and we wouldn't survive without the community backing that we've got.
What do you think it is about Nanup that makes the festival so special?
I think it's the welcome that they get. I think it's the fact that we've still got some of the old, you know, the street's still quite historic. I think it would be a shame if we lost any more of the old buildings, you know, and it's great to see the Shire renovating. You know, I think the town hall's getting painted at the moment. And I think we've got, they love the feel of it, you know, and the hotel and the, you know, it's just, and I think they just like the laid back, the laid back atmosphere. I mean, being a Nanup resident, I hope too many people don't discover it, but yes, but I think a lot of people are discovering that Nunup's only actually an hour away from a lot of places. So it's great to come for a day trip, you know, especially from the southwest. We do draw a lot of people down from the Perth and Manjeri area who come and stay. We've got some people who actually come and stay for the whole 10 days.
There is a key festival mission. It's always tried to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah, well, the main mission has always been to put on a festival that's good, suitable for everybody, to showcase Nunup and showcase the community and the community groups, you know. So the aim of the Nunup Garden Village is to encourage the love of gardening and support the growth and development of Nunup. And that's why we try and change the celebrities throughout the years. Like Sophie Thompson, she's been popular, Millie Ross. A lot of the Gardening Australia people are very, very keen to come. We've had many of them throughout the years. Sabrina is always popular. Gertrude is always popular because, you know, she does some magnificent costumes with her tulips and all this sort of thing. But we just keep refreshing it all the time because I think you've got to do that. As times change, new things happen. You know, a lot of people are now wanting to grow their own veggies at home, wanting to go a bit more organic, you know. So we make sure that we're accommodating all these sorts of things.
Would you say that's one of the reasons why the festival's so successful?
Yes, I think so.
It's like we've gone a full loop and we're trying to get back to some of these old
yes,
skills.
Yes, absolutely, getting back to some of the old skills.
Can you tell us a bit more about that? Because I know it involves horticulture and permaculture and all these things. Can you tell us a bit more about how the festival...
If you're gardeners, and I mean most of us on the committee are, and like Bob obviously is, you know, he's always been very keen... And he writes for the Telegraph on gardening and all this sort of thing. I think it's, and we, both me and Bob, follow a lot of, we know a lot of the garden people personally. You know, we've known them for years, even up in Perth. We read a lot of books, so we see the trends, we watch a lot of, so I mean, like me and Bob started doing wicking beds probably 12 years ago, before anybody had even heard of them. And now there's still new people coming along doing it as if it's a new thing. But, you know, we've been doing it for so long. So I think we just try and keep ahead of the times and try and look at the trends, you know, the workshops and things that we do. Like, for instance, during COVID, Lara from Bellingup actually came down and she put a mandala on the village green because we couldn't do the town hall display. And that proved so popular. You know, it was really spectacular. And that drew a lot of people. It's good fun. It's very good fun. Unfortunately, age is catching up with me. And my mind keeps going. But physically, I can't do as much.
What do you see the festival as in the future?
What we would like to see is it is a true 10-day festival. So there's something on every single day. You know, and that's why we thought, not, you know, at the town hall, we want to try and get celebrities in the week so that we're encouraging people to come down for the whole period and stay longer. The town is usually booked out of accommodation, but we are getting a lot more accommodation. You know, there's a lot more Airbnbs and all this sort of thing. And people don't mind travelling. And also get buses coming through the week more rather than all turning up on the first Saturday and, you know, like, 10 buses all turning up at the same time, don't let us know, and we're all, oh, where are you going to park, you know? So we want it to become a full 10-day festival if we can. The biggest problem is burnout, and the biggest problem is lack of volunteers, because unfortunately a lot of people have to work now and they can't sort of... But we're working towards it. And the other thing is funding, getting funding. For some reason, funding for... Because we don't... Even though I regard gardening as a form of art... But even talking to some of the celebrities that come, Sophie Thompson does a lot of work in the community with community gardens and things like that. She said gardening festivals are one of the hardest thing to get funding for. And she's from the eastern states. So it was interesting to talk to her last year about that. We just keep looking around for different grants and where we can go. We've applied for some regional arts grants and things like that. And we have things there ready to go if we get the grant money.
Yeah, so you have some great ideas ready to share in the festival. Can you tell us about some of them?
You know, it's amazing, the restaurants. If you go to the restaurants, you know, get the coffee grinds that they're giving away. They're great for your garden, you know. I'm sure the Shire would welcome it if you went and raked up all the leaves that were in town at the moment, you know. Use your leaves in your garden, you know, like mulch them. Yeah, don't burn them. We're trying to tell people not to burn stuff. Get a mulcher. Mulch it, you know? People have got this obsession with, you know, we have to clear our blocks. They've got this obsession with burning everything. Rake it up and use it as compost. You make a cage, just, you know, white cage with just with netting. And in the middle of it, you put a big tube with holes all in it, and you fill it all with the leaves on the outside. And then you put your food scraps and everything in the middle, and it sort of all breaks down. And, you know, so there's all sorts of different things that you can do. So these are some of the workshops that we show people what to do, this sort of thing. Workshops on mushrooms, you know, how to grow your own mushrooms, this sort of thing, because a lot of people love that sort of thing. A lot of people also are really getting more and more loving flowers and growing flowers and wanting to have flowers in the house all the time and wanting to know how to arrange them and all this sort of thing. And that's another thing that we've done over the... We try and not use any plastic in our displays, but we, a lot of the florists and all the ones that we are involved with now, we're completely away from florist form. When you get a display from a florist, you'll see a green thing. So getting away from that, because it breaks down, it doesn't break down very well. And it's, so, you know, you just, it's all right, you need something to put your flowers to hold them up in. Just get a piece of chicken wire and put it over the top and it'll hold it up. You know, there's lots of simple things that people don't even realise until you explain to them. We try and, like the Film Society, you know, they want to do a film, so we try and involve them. Lions, sausage sizzle, P&C, they did a sausage sizzle to raise funds. We try and make sure that if anybody wants to raise funds, come and do a stall. We give free stalls to community groups. You know, come and you can raise money, you know, like... The problem is with involving all the community groups, they're all so busy doing their own thing, but then we don't have the volunteer, you know, like it's, so it's a catch 22, but somehow we seem to manage okay.
How many years has it been going for now then? 27 years or something?
Yeah, it's 28 this year, because we're celebrating it. We'll be having a big celebration in 2027, is that right? Yeah. So, and yes, I've been involved on and off all that time. Because I was on the board of the... Tourist Bureau, I got involved with the music club. And my first involvement actually was I did all the artist accommodation. Oh, yes. And in those days, it used to be at the, we always called it the old caravan park. It's now called the River Bend. Because I was doing that, I ended up on the committee of the music festival. So I was on the music festival committee for 12 years. And of course, I ended up as chair. And one of my proudest achievements, I think, with the music club was that when I became chair, it was still operating out of everybody's house. You know, we didn't have an office. We didn't have a thing. There was no paid staff. It was just all volunteers. I mean, one year, I think we were down to five of us running it. You know, it was just... And then I said, right, we can't keep going on like this. And Phaedra had just joined us then. She actually needed to get a job to pay. So I said, right, well, let's look, see if we can afford to do this. So we actually went into the little shop that's now the barista in the, yeah. So we had that and we were there for quite a few years, and we employed Phaedra just part-time, and we actually had the front of the shop, and we had a lot of merchandise in there. We used to sell bits of musical instruments and T-shirts and, you know, all relating to the music, yeah. And then the opportunity came to go into the supper room. And originally we were having the back half, the music club was having the back half, and the Tourist Association were going to have the front half. And then the Tourist Association fell in a heap, and I said, well, let's just take over the whole lot. And I negotiated a very, very good deal with the Shire, so that even though we had to pay the Shire quite a bit in rent, we got quite a lot of money back from them, so it sort of equated it. So the garden club meets once a month in somebody's house, and, you know, it's very laid back. There's no committee, just one person organised the garden. And I actually handed over the reins of that last week to two other girls, because I just felt it was time. I've been involved in the Shire on advisory groups, on tourism. I've been on the community bus committee. I used to write for the Donnybrook Bridgetown Mail. I was employed by the CRC, who had the contract to write the Nanup News. And every week, so, I mean, I think I was paid two hours a week. And I think I worked about 20.
Yeah.
Because I used to go to all the events, take pictures. So the actual CRC has got a record of many of all those pictures are archived over there. I loved my camera and all that. Now I'm down to my phone. I don't use my camera anymore. Yeah. So the Southwest Food Bowl is an agricultural awareness days, run every 2 years. So the idea is to show kids where an egg comes from, where, you know, how a cow gets pregnant, you know, how to make silage, you know, how silage is made. Because some kids, they live in their little world so busy with their screens and whatever that they don't actually know a lot of this stuff. Get them out of their comfort zone, you know. I mean, they go up to the Dunnett's farm on Bailingup Road and they're actually showing, you know, pregnancy testing. Well, some kids are in horror, you know, because the vets do that. You know, how to shear it, you know, a sheep, you know, like. So it's really, really, it started off just as one day and now it's gone to 2 days because we had so many people interested. So last year we had it, it's always running October, because it's between, it suits the farmers to have it then and the kids as well. So last year I think we had about 800 kids over the 2 days. They all come in on the buses and they go out to visit farms. They got, you know, like chucking up the Cambrai cheese, see how cheese is made. And we had drones there as well because we're looking, trying to show them the new technology that is used now in, and then we have a lot of things on in town as well. And we get a lot of support from the Manjimup Ag Department, and they bring a lot of stuff and, you know, like fisheries come and all these sort of people. So they come in and they get a box of fruit and biscuits, which the CWA, they make the biscuits. So it's, again, all involved in, you know, community groups. I'm very keen to make sure that we keep that going. I'd been nominated, I think, about 8 times for the Citizen of the Year. But in 2021, I was actually Citizen of the Year.
For your involvement in committees?
Yes, for my involvement in everything that I'd done. I feel very proud that I achieved that. I hope that my contribution to what I've done in Nanup has made a difference. Well, and yeah, and I've enjoyed it. I still enjoy it, you know, but physically I can't do it anymore. It's fun. It's fun to, you know, like we have laughs, you know.
You
like,
can see the passion coming out of you when you talk about it.
Yeah, well, we, you know, that is fun. You know, get involved in a group, I say to people, because you have so much fun.
Well, thank you, Maggie, for all your contributions to Nanup and congratulations on being Citizen of the Year. Thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to the Nanup Oral History Podcast. If you are not a Nanupian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a Nanupian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this and we hope you are too.
This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Community's Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of Nanup. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of Nanup's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Ben Stories.